is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Hulse Show. We're powered by PDC Energy live from the Aloe Fiber Studios here. Joining us on the First Advantage Hotline, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And Mark, I think you're rubbing off on primetime, man. He looked good in that cowboy hat from the presser I was watching yesterday, man.
You know, when I walked in on Sunday, he had a cowboy hat on. He had cowboy boots on. Then he walks into the press conference, and I was sitting off to the side. He walked in, and he kind of scanned. He saw me. He goes, "Hey, you seeing this?" And I said, "Coach, I got it, man." I said, "I think that's pretty sharp." And then Monday, that was a black cowboy hat. Then on Monday, he had kind of a tan or goldish colored one on. So, yeah, I think the culture's spreading.
I think it is, man. I think we're going to start seeing everybody in cowboy hats.
I will say this. Shadur, during that press conference, somebody asked him about, you know, his dad wearing a cowboy hat. And he said, no, my dad's been wearing cowboy hats for a while. So maybe I have nothing to do with it. I don't know.
Well, I'd like to give you some of that credit, at least, until I'm told not to. So I'll run with it for as long as I possibly can, Mark. You know, I just want to help out. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. We got spring ball to talk about and everything. And again, we can only take so much from it, but we can take that it's going to be well attended. The spring game is going to be well attended. It's going to be on ESPN. It's absolutely crazy pandemonium in spring for CU Buffs. It's cool to see, man. It's really fun to watch from the outside.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, I was on a show the other day, and a guy asked me about what is a normal spring around here, and I said, well, I've been here 19, so my previous 18 spring ball games I've been around, I think, 7,000-9,000 maybe might have been a good one. So, you know, heck, 2-3 weeks ago they were saying they had 35,000 tickets sold already, and we're going to have a lot more of that. Obviously, I mean, it'll probably be close to a sellout. So you would think 45,000-50,000 for the spring game on April 22nd, which is mind-boggling to me in terms of that kind of interest. But that just goes to show you what Prime has brought in and how jacked up and how success starved I think Buff Nation is to have good football here in Boulder.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it, because you just look at, you know, obviously the past, and football in the area just hasn't been great. But when you have the Buffs leading it like this with all the attention shining on Boulder and primetime and what they're doing, I mean, it's an exciting time. This is unlike any spring coverage you've ever done, Mark. I mean, you've done a lot of these spring games. You've done a lot of great things. But this is, as we've talked about a lot, this is a completely different beast. So when do you start breaking into the X's and O's and the players? Where obviously we know some of these big names we're looking out for. But how are you? Has your strategy changed a little bit with how we're handling spring ball and spring coverage?
Well, you know what the funny aspect is? You know, because I want to say at this point there's like 50 new players on the team. I'm over at the CU Event Center right now. I was over at the Champion Center the other day, and I got on an elevator. About four or five players got on, and I thought to myself, I don't know any of you guys. I mean, I did not know a single guy by face. So I introduced myself. I started doing interviews with the guys. We've been releasing those slowly and just getting to know. So I had to Shane Cokes, for example, who's a Dartmouth defensive line transfer. And I did Jimmy Horn Jr. a couple of days ago. I mean, incredibly athletic wide receiver they brought in. He came in from South Florida. It's almost like walking in here in year one, because I don't know anybody. And so that's been the process right now, is just trying to figure out who these guys are, learning all the coaches, remembering their names. And oh, yeah, when I'm at practice, I'm trying to watch and see what they're doing out there. Early on, it's just been implementation stuff, so you're not getting a great deal of sense of exactly what it looks like. But, I mean, for everybody, I think, there's a newness to this, and that kind of adds to the excitement, I think, of, you know, what we're ultimately looking towards on April 22nd.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, a lot of times with a new coaching change, you're going to see new coaches and new faces, new players, but it's just like an overhaul, like you said. I mean, work is going to be out there, just getting to know all of these guys, and as we progress, you know, see who are going to be the studs of this football team as we get closer and closer to spring and get closer and closer to fall.
Brady, I think at Jackson State, I think in year one, if I'm not mistaken, I saw this number a while back, and so I may be off a little bit, but I think Coach Prime had 70 new players on that roster in year number one. And I think right now this would include the transfer guys and then what's coming in, you know, in the fall from the true freshmen that will be coming in from the high schools. I think he's got about 50 right now. don't be surprised, because what we're going to see in college football, right after spring ball gets over for all the schools around the country, you're going to see another influx of guys into the portal. Okay, what will happen is guys will start to see the way the team is shaping up, and they'll say, okay, well, listen, I'm running number three right now, or you know, maybe I don't look like my new position coach, or whatever it might be, and so they'll jump in the portal again. Don't be surprised if Coach Prime brings in another 20 or so guys. And so you could be talking 70 to 75 new faces on the Buffs football team by the time we get to, you know, camp and around August 1st.
Yeah, talk about an overhaul. And I'll be curious to get your thoughts as we progress in spring. But I wanted to pick your brain about the basketball side of things too, Mark. The Buffs lose in the second round of the NIT to Utah Valley. I saw Lovering's names in the transfer portal among 4 million players yesterday. I mean, I'm just, it's left and right. Did you see that one coming?
Not at all. Totally 100% blindsided by that. Very disappointed. In that, because Lawson, I think number one, Tad Boyle has been. I said this to somebody last night. I got a call about this. I was team roping last night. I get down and turn my phone on. My phone is blowing up at about 8:45, and I'm like, "What in the world is going on?" I, you know, I'm opening up the messages, and I just about fell over when I saw that Lawson had jumped in the transfer portal. So I was talking with all kinds of people, staff members, and media members, and all kinds of things. And I said to somebody, "I don't know that I've seen Tad Boyle more protective of a player and defensive of a player than he was for Lawson Lovering the last couple of years." Listen, there's that great line that Wilt Chamberlain said years ago about being, you know, a seven-footer. He said, "Nobody cheers for Goliath." And I relayed that to Lawson at one point. I think it was late last year. I relayed that to him because I know he struggled greatly with the way fans responded. And fans can be awful, awful tough on these kids. And it drives me crazy, you know, when I've been out or been, you know, in a public situation with a player and I see a fan come up and start talking to a kid about how you need to improve upon that or improve upon this. Number one, I tell you what, here's a little tip for all of you listening to our fans. Don't do that, okay? Those kids, number one, are fully aware of what they need to work on. Number two, they've got a coaching staff that is talking to them about that very thing, okay? And so, you know, whether you're, you know, Mike the plumber or Susie the bookkeeper, whatever it is, you come up and start telling a kid about, hey, your free throw percentage isn't very good. Really? Well, I think the kid probably understands that. Secondly, now I might be wrong, but I don't think you're the free throw doctor. Okay, leave that to the coaches and players. And so that's just a bit of advice to you know, how fans will do that. I think he really struggled with that at times. Now, here's the thing that I wish he would understand. No matter where you transfer, there's going to be a fan base.
Right.
And you're going to hear that kind of conversation all the time from fans. And so, for example, like Luke O'Brien struggled with that early in his career. Luke has learned how to deal with that, which you have to learn as a mature person anyway. And so, you know, Luke, I know, has gotten rid of all of his social media accounts, just gotten away from the entire world, don't pay attention, and now he's playing very good basketball. And so I wish Lawson would have learned that. Instead of just jumping in the portal and deciding to go someplace else, because I still think he's going to be a heck of a player, and I'm just very disappointed he's not going to be here.
I was stunned, too. And again, I don't know even a tiny percentage as much about this team as you do, Mark, but our conversations about him and just watching him over these last few months, I was stunned by that. So I'll be curious to see where he goes. I'm kind of doing this thing now, Mark, with our insiders that cover the team because of the transfer portal. Yeah. I don't know anything. I just assume no players are coming back at this point. Wyoming has like three. I think my producer Angel is going to try to see if he has a year of eligibility for Wyoming. So who's coming back for the Buffs? I guess that's the question we should ask.
Well, so here's what you think is going to happen right now. Okay, the first two guys you're going to talk about are KJ Simpson and Tristan Da Silva. Okay, they're probably the two most prominent players on this team. Now, these two guys are going to take advantage of the underclassmen evaluation they can take with the NBA. They're both going to do that. McKinley Wright did that years ago, and there have been others that have done that here at Colorado. That's not unusual for guys. Now, from what I've gathered, and Scott Wilkie and I frequently talk to NBA scouts throughout the year, they're going to get some very solid feedback. They're both highly regarded prospects, but not for this year. I don't think either is going to get that kind of response. So they will be coming back. Okay. The only thing you wonder about with Tristan Da Silva is he is a European player, and don't think that there are not, you know, some of those European leagues that are reaching out to him already. Now, he's an NBA caliber guy, so my sense would be that Tristan would come back for his senior season and is going to have a very good opportunity to play in the NBA. Keep in mind as well here, Brady, Cody Williams is coming in. He might be the number one recruit in America coming to Colorado next year. They are going to have NBA scouts at every single game and most of their practices next season. So the attention, if you want attention from the NBA, be part of the Colorado Buffaloes next season, because the NBA is going to be dissecting everything that happens because Cody Williams is going to be here. And so I think that's a great selling point for Ted. And so those two guys, and then, you know, you go beyond that and get into Luke O'Brien and Javon Hadley and Julian Hammond and Nick Clifford and go on down the line and the rest of the guys that are underclassmen, or I should say not graduating. You expect those guys to be back next season. And then, you know, Tad's got three guys coming in. Cody Williams, you got the young man, the young Jop, who comes in. He's a 6'9" high motor guy from down in the city. And then there's a young man, Courtney Anthony, I believe is the name, who's a kind of a wing athletic, 2-3 man coming in from Northern California. So that's what it looks like right now. I will not be shocked. Well, especially with Lawson Lovering leaving, if there might not be a transfer portal big that ends up coming here, if not two of them. That's just kind of me reading the tea leaves that Ted may have to go out and find.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely wild now. It's getting crazier by the day. I'm following these pages that update you on the transfer portal, and it's just nonstop, man.
I don't, and here's the thing about it. Listen, I understand there are going to be legitimate reasons you leave. Okay, I get that. If you're someplace and, you know, it's illegal or immoral or unethical, whatever you're deeming inside there, or you've got an enormous personality conflict with the coach or whatever it might be, I understand there are things that, you know, cause you to say, maybe I need to go someplace else. That's not what we're viewing here. That's why I've always had an issue with the transfer portal thing. It's just, you know, I heard a story. I was talking with a coaching friend of mine the other day, and he said that there was a player that he knew of that decided he wanted to leave because he thought they conditioned too hard. And I'm like, really? That's why you're transferring, huh? So the other thing that I wonder about this, so you're sitting number three in the depth chart. Whatever happened to competing and saying, I'm going to compete? I might get it, you know, if you go back to a Cody Hawkins situation a year ago, you figure, well, I'm a quarterback, I'm number three, and the head coach's son's the quarterback. Maybe I don't have a great opportunity here. Okay, maybe that's a reason to leave at that point. I want a fair shot someplace else where they're going to be totally objective with me. But there are not many legitimate reasons why these guys are just willy-nilly jumping into the transfer portal. When we do games, and I'm seeing players that are in their fourth school, we've got a problem here. Now, you jump one time, you might be able to excuse that. You jump three or four times, well, what are we doing here? I mean, all of a sudden you become a gun for hire, for goodness sakes. And I'm not sure that's good for college athletics.
Well, and I just think it looks bad. And again, I have my positives on the NIL, on the transfer portal. I really do. But this is out of control. And again, I just think it looks bad for your potential pro career. Or if you don't go play pro in some fashion outside of college, people are going to look around and be like, dude, you hopped around a lot when you were in college sports. Is that what you're going to do here? You don't like something the way it's going? So I think there's a balance here. It's got to be a healthy one. We got to find a way to strike it.
Well, and listen, I was having a conversation with a student athlete here at CU a while back, and we got talking about this very thing. And he said, well, you know, Mark, what is it about it? You know, I said, well, it doesn't teach me anything about commitment. And I said, these are lessons. And I've always said about being a college player, first you learn, then you drop the L, right? First you learn, then you earn. And one of the great things about college and being a college athlete is the lessons you learn as a result of that. And then you go out in your real life, you take those lessons with you. And so if just because I didn't like something, I don't like the food in the cafeteria, or we ran harder than I wanted to run, so I'm going to jump, you know, that's going to be real nice. That'll be congratulations. That'll work real well with you and your spouse growing up, you know, and when you get married, right? You know what? I don't like that he does this or she does that. I'll just jump and go to somebody else. I don't like that aspect of this, that there's no accountability, responsibility, and commitment in these things. At some point, we have to have, for I think a society to function properly, we have to have commitment within our word and those guys. And I always used to tell my kids, when you start something, you finish something, okay? Unless there's some real extreme situation going on. When you start it, you gave your word, finish that, and then if you want to go do something else, that's perfectly fine. but you've got to finish the term, the season, the semester, whatever it is you got yourself into, because that's your word, and there's got to be some commitment. And that doesn't mean we always get to do exactly what we want or have everything exactly how we want to do it, but you've got to learn to fight through those adversities, and I get worried about that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you too, Mark. Again, I see positives for both sides, but it's getting out of hand now, and you're right. Four transfers, three transfers, whatever, it's nuts. Mark, my man, always appreciate you. We're excited for CU women coming up on Friday. Is that right? Friday going up against Iowa.
Yep.
So that's a huge Sweet 16 game.
Yeah, I just did an interview here about a half hour ago with J.R. Payne. We're going to be releasing on social media here soon, and they're all jacked up, and they'll be taking off after practice this afternoon and taking on, Caitlin Clark, the leading scorer in America in the Iowa Hawkeyes. Be a lot of black and gold in that building, but on Friday, but we hope that it's the buff, black, and gold that comes out victorious, because this is a heck of a run for the CU women. It's amazing.
Well, we'll be looking out for that interview. Mark, my man, appreciate you as always, and hook me up with one of those cowboy hats, man. I'll definitely say it was you that gave it to me. No problem with that at all.
First off, I didn't give any of mine to Coach Prime.
Well, then that means you got some left over. Right. That means you have some extras.
we do fit them to size here, so we got to make sure. And I've got a pretty big pumpkin. I got to warn you about that. I got a pretty big head, so you got to be careful about that. But and here's just my only advice: if you're going to go and get a cowboy hat, don't get it at a gas station. All right, get it at a real cowboy hat, a legitimate cowboy hat. That's what you want. You don't want to go for one of those that, got crumpled up and it's got a beer logo on it.
Well, I've already done that, so I got to scratch that off. Don't do that again. Don't do that again. Okay. Mark, my man, appreciate you. We'll catch up with you next week, man.
All right. See you, buddy.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. We got to take a quick break. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.